You know, if you're not thinking about how your employees are already using AI and how they should be using AI, you're behind.
Are there systems you have in the works that will change what seems like a pretty arduous process?
We have a number of developments that we're looking at. I'm going to be busy with AI for many years.
Looking ahead, what are you most excited about in terms of the future of AI at the Recording Academy?
I'm very excited about...
There's nothing like an award show. The glitz, the glamour, the groundbreaking usage of AI. That's right, AI is everywhere, including on the biggest stages. Today, we're joined by David Gregory, Chief Information Officer at the Recording Academy. He's going to chat with us about how the Grammys have approached integrating AI in a major way. David, welcome to AI in Action.
Thank you, David. It's good to be here.
So the star of the Grammys is the music, not the tech backing it up, but it's still an incredibly powerful tool. So how is the Recording Academy navigating the usage of AI?
So, you know, I think with AI, it's a bit of a gold rush, right? Especially this past summer, things have kind of exploded. You know, AI's everywhere. You read lots of articles about it. And it certainly has caught the attention of the leadership of the Recording Academy. So including myself, I've been immersing myself in AI for quite a while, which is not very long since it's been a pretty short period of time where it's just kind of, you know, mushroomed. But I think, you know, like any other company, we're trying to get our arms around AI. It's such a big thing. It's so pervasive in so many different ways. So, you know, for us, it's trying to come up with a strategy that makes sense for us and how we implement AI within our, you know, business processes.
So for the show, historically, you know, you were the voting process involved mailing out ballots and manually validating like thousands of submissions. What were some of the biggest pain points in that process?
Yeah. So, I mean, a few years ago, probably long before I got to the Recording Academy, they moved the voting online. And so we still receive, you know, tens of thousands of submissions each year. And so that's a lot of submissions because it gets whittled down to 95 categories. So, you know, on Grammy Sunday, we have the telecast, of course, which will have probably 10 to 12 of our biggest awards. But then there's another 80-some awards that are given out during the day. So it's a lot of awards, a lot of submissions. And, you know, for example, with like something like Album of the Year, we'll get over 1,700 submissions. And then on the back end of that, someone has to go through all of those and make sure that they're eligible, that the people's names are spelled right, everybody gets the credit they should be getting. So you know, when you think about AI, you know, for us, this is a heavily manual process. We go through each and every one of these over 20,000 submissions for eligibility, for example. So we could use AI to help us. It wouldn't eliminate the human verification, but it certainly could speed up the process. Something that currently takes weeks and weeks could be probably winnowed down to maybe just a few days.
So you mentioned AI. Are there systems you have in the works that will change what seems like a pretty arduous process?
I mean, yeah, we have a number of developments that we're looking at over the course of the next year in particular. So, you know, we have what we call Grammy season, and we're right smack dab in the middle of it because the first round of voting is over, but there's two rounds of voting, of course. The first round gets you to your nominations. And then after that, the next round is the one that selects the winners. We're looking at using AI for a number of things that would help us on the back end of screening those, you know, thousands of submissions. We're looking at using AI to actually help voters with their credentials, for example, to make sure that they have the right credentials to vote for a certain category. So there's a number of things that we're looking at.
So one program you do have ongoing is Grammy IQ, and that's already live and fan-facing. Can you walk us through what it does and how it enhances the Grammy.com experience?
So Grammy IQ is essentially an AI chatbot that allows people who come to our website to play a trivia game. And the trivia game is based on essentially Grammy history information. So we have a something called the History Database, our awards database, that dates back to the beginnings of the Recording Academy, all the way back to the actual early 1960s. And the AI chatbot, or Grammy IQ, essentially ingested all of the information from the history database, and knows all of that information, and then some additional information which it may have gotten from other sources, so that when somebody plays the game, the first thing that Grammy IQ does is present them with a multiple choice question, I believe. It's been a while since I played it myself, but that question is drawn from the information that's in the Grammy history database. So they have an opportunity to guess at the question, and if they guess it right, I think they can be entered into a sweepstakes to win Grammy tickets for next year.
Beyond Grammy IQ, what other AI-driven initiatives are in development?
So we have a number of things that, one I alluded to with the voting. We currently are in the development of another way to have members vote, which would allow them to vote in categories that they're qualified for. We're going to be using AI to essentially support the voter in helping them gather their credentials from any given year. So we want people in the Grammys, the idea is you're being voted on by your peers. So in order for you to be a peer, it means you need a credit within the year that you're voting, or within the last, several years. That's one of the things we're working on. We are going to follow on our website with a sort of a deeper experience beyond Grammy IQ, rather than a trivia game. We want to be for consumers and for members, all things Grammy. So if you want to know something about the Grammys, we want you to come to our site to figure that out, or to learn about the Grammys. So we've already ingested all of that information into the AI. Now it's a matter of changing the way in which people interact with that information. So we want to give them a richer kind of experience coming to our website, and not only learning information, seeing text about the Grammys, but also getting, video from past Grammys and songs from past Grammys. And so that's one of the big projects that we'll be starting up after Grammy season ends, which would be February 1st.
So do you think this is going to, the way the user of the website, would it still be chat driven? Would they still be using, is that the thought? You'd be able to talk in natural language and get information about the Grammys from the past or about the current?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's going to look like, ChatGPT or Perplexity or Claude, or, pick your poison. It will look like that. It will have that very common interface of you putting in natural language into a prompt, and then it coming back with the information that you asked about. But it would be rich media. It would be more than just text. Could be images, could be video, could be sound.
Yeah, that's really cool. We were thinking about on my team, when we're a lot of the stuff that we do in my division is we build these really quick projects, and a lot of it has obviously to do with agentic AI and AI, and a lot of it comes down to the way people are going to interact with user interfaces from now on, because so much can be done. Like you said, it's not just text, right? It's multimodal. You could ask a question, and and a video can come up. It could source things from the past and not just an answer, but show you a picture of a past Grammy. And we think that, and this is just on the ground level, the tech side, like we really think that that's just going to be a totally new way of people interacting. And it's just going to be the way people do it from now on, just mostly driven by natural language, which I think is really, really kind of exciting.
I think you're spot on. And that's what we expect them to do as well. For us, we have an enormous amount of content that, you know, we have warehoused. You know, we have video content dating back, you know, I don't know, 60 years at least, because we're at Grammy 68, I think, this year, 67 or 68. So, you know, all of that information, you can imagine, it back when it was being stored, may not have all of the metadata and what we need to actually search specific things in that video. So that's another thing that we're looking at, is we would love to have all of our video ingested by a large language model that could, that's specific to looking at video and pulling out the appropriate information, so that what we have there is much more searchable and, you know, can deliver things that people are looking for that have happened over the last few decades.
That is very cool. Like that I was thinking that exactly, right? Like you'd be able to, you know, ingest all the media that you have over the course of 68. As how many Grammys? A lot. And then you'd have all this video, and you'd have like a metadata where just a natural language question or a query would be able to source stuff that you wouldn't be able to, you know, do a keyword search for. It's a very, very exciting time, I think, in particular for this kind of stuff.
Yeah. If you want to know what, I don't know, pick what Ella Fitzgerald wore to the Grammys that she attended, type that in natural language and get that image.
But this is a big process, right? So what is the development of a project look like from your end as like the CIO? What exactly are you doing to spearhead this project?
I mean, it's an interesting time because I think it's still very early in the AI world. And as I said earlier, it's a bit of a gold rush. And so you don't want to jump on too fast, I think. And you have to, I think, proceed with at least a little bit of caution, so that essentially you don't find yourself on an island with some technology that is now been passed by. At the same time, we don't want to, you know, there's also the FOMO thing, right? Fear of missing out. Like, you also want to make sure that you're keeping up with the developments. So so for us, the main thing is to kind of, actually, I just spent a good part of the last few days preparing for a large AI meeting I'm having in New York tomorrow with some of my colleagues. And just in the matter of a few days, over six different departments, I have 60 different potential AI use cases that we're looking at, right? So like, we need to figure out which one of these are we going to do? What are the priorities, and what do we have the resources to do to begin with? And then look at it and say, well, we don't have to do all of this in 1 year. You know, let's look at it over the course of the next 3 years. And what are the things we're going to do first, in what areas, and what are we going to invest in? So it's really the kind of planning and priority setting that you would expect from any company where a CIO has to help create, you know, that vision of where we're going with all of this.
It's also the culture, right? Like you mentioned that you have all these different divisions coming up with all these different ideas. That means that they're immersed in the technology, and that they have, and because it's, the technology is easy to get into, not necessarily easy to build, but easy to get into and to use and to generate these interesting ideas and the way to use all this stuff that you have at the Grammys. I think it's really exciting. I think you need that flexibility, like you said. Like you don't know what's coming out next year. You don't know what the models are going to be able to do next year. So like, being a little bit wary and also being really flexible, I think is the way to drive success in something like this.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely, I think, again, that's hitting the nail on the head. I think flexibility is extremely important. And as I said, you don't want to be locked into any, you know, particular model. There are lots of models out there, and some of them are tailored to do certain things. And so, you know, we're partnering with IBM on some of the things that we're doing and other things that we're looking at, which, you know, there are dedicated kind of third-party applications for. So like take something like legal, for example. I mean, actually, I attended an AI conference that the CEO of IBM was one of the hosts, and one of the companies was Harvey, which is a company that's dedicated to providing an AI solution for legal departments. So, you know, there's something right off the shelf that you can apply like any other third-party software to help deal with like a huge number of contracts. We're a very small company, but we have a lot of contracts that we deal with.
And I think the future, you're going to see a lot more targeted models, like very small language models that do a very specific thing, which will be really interesting in your use case in particular, because this is music focused, right? Like it's not just music, right? It's also, like you said, what was Ella Fitzgerald wearing? It's going to be a really interesting problem to solve. And honestly, sounds to me very exciting.
I think, you know, like some of it, like, okay, the legal thing might not be that exciting. although I'd be super excited for our contracts to be, getting through the pipeline much faster. So that would be great. But yeah, I mean, some of the things that we do, because we are an entertainment company, we do produce the greatest music show on the planet every year. And we do others as well throughout the year. So we have potential to use AI in our productions. We have potential, to qualify that, I would say, like, on the back end, like helping us with things like, you know, scheduling. And I mean, you can imagine with a show like the Grammys, imagine what it takes to schedule all of those artists, those A-listers that come and perform, not to mention all of the ones who come just to be at the Grammys. I mean, it's a scheduling nightmare. So, you know, that's something that I think we could apply AI to really help some of our people manage those extremely complex processes.
So when you're looking at all these proposals, right, from all your teams, what are the expected results you want to deliver for the fans and for the members?
Yeah, so, and frankly, because we are a membership organization, the members are always the top priority. I mean, delivering value to our members is the most important thing that we do. And we do that in many ways. So, looking at what we do for membership to improve their experience is pretty critical. And we have recently begun to focus on what we call the digital experience across three platforms: our website, our app, and our portal, which is in Salesforce. So about 4 years ago, we moved the membership into Salesforce. And now that they're in Salesforce, there's lots of opportunities for us to essentially deploy AI in a way that could benefit members. Right. So, and you were earlier talking about agentics or AI agents, and there's an area where I think we could really help members. We do a lot of phone support for members. Many of the questions are the same questions you get over and over again about membership, and certainly an AI agent to help members would be sort of a natural fit.
Yeah, Salesforce has a great product in Agentforce, right? Within Salesforce itself, you have a lot of agentic opportunities to really, really make that application shine.
Yeah, and you know, IBM is actually our development partner for what we do within Salesforce. So we're definitely looking at that and talking about that. We did a little agent about 2 years ago, just to kind of test the water a bit. And now that things have progressed to where they are, I think we'll look at that as something we're going to do over the course of this year.
On your side, were there any hesitations or pain points that surfaced while you were beginning this integration?
Well, you know, whenever you're moving to a new system, there are lots of pain points, right? Because people are used to the old system. We moved from an in-house database that was developed by folks who were no longer at the Recording Academy, you know, kind of the standard sort of thing that you find in, you know, I joined the Recording Academy when that system was still in place, and the last person who knew anything about it had just resigned. So it was like a CIO nightmare, right? And, you know, it wasn't a very difficult choice to look at that and say, well, I mean, we have 24,000 members total, I think, and it's somewhere in that neighborhood. And so, you know, let's move to a world-class CRM, put everybody into Salesforce, and then, you know, once we get them into Salesforce, it'll be the platform in which we can really, you know, progress and provide lots of new value to them in terms of what we can provide for them. So, yeah, but getting there, that's a whole nother story, because you've got your internal employees who they have their own things now they have to learn and do differently. But then the members themselves are now presented with a totally new interface and a different system. And so it, you know, my experience, I've been a CIO for over 20 years. And every time you do something like this, it takes at least a couple of years before the road is just a little less bumpy.
As a CIO, I imagine your main stakeholder is the business. So how are you looking at AI to improve the business operations for the Recording Academy?
We're looking at, you know, how do we improve things for our membership department? You know, how do we help them with things like recruitment and onboarding and engagement and then analytics to see how we're doing, retention, all of that sort of thing. The awards process, which is very heavily manual, and how do we help them use AI to speed things up and also improve accuracy. In the marketing department, lots of opportunities there for AI agents and helping with social media, that's very important to us. Partnerships, they can use AI, for lead scoring and, you know, all sorts of different things. Advocacy, which is a really important area that many people don't realize, the Recording Academy has a whole department that lobbies lawmakers and across the country to make sure that musicians are well represented and in the case of AI, protected so that their rights are protected against misuse of AI. And then we have the entertainment division, which I mentioned before, it was doing productions throughout the year that end up on television and streaming and all the sort of things that can be done in pre-production and post-production. And then all of the archives that we have. So I'm going to be busy with AI for many years.
Is this business as usual for a CIO, or are you feeling like the AI era is sort of a reevaluation?
You know, I think it's business as usual. I mean, as I said, I've been a CIO for over 20 years. And in that time, I've seen a lot of technology waves. And in many ways, the AI technology wave is a lot like other waves. Even when you think about agents, you can go to 1995 and look, Microsoft had Bob. You remember Bob?
No.
Yeah. Well, there was one. And, you know, and the world was not ready for it, nor was the technology, right? It couldn't, there was no large language models there. It wasn't good. It was a flop. So those, you know, a lot of what you see happening now to me is really applying this really fantastic technology that's been developed with large language models being applied to some of the things and problems that we've had for, you know, a long time. So to me, it's not so much new. It's more an improvement on the kinds of solutions that we can provide.
So what are your top takeaways for other CIOs in terms of how or when to start implementing AI in their organizations?
Again, the FOMO thing, you know, fear of missing out. Like you're already behind if you're not developing something now. And, you know, if you're not thinking about how your employees are already using AI and how they should be using AI, you're behind. Most of the CIOs I know are already on top of this, right? Everybody is deploying AI where they can to gain advantage for their employees in terms of improving their workflows. And so I don't think I'm any different than most CIOs in that respect, because if you're, like I said, if you're not on top of this, then you're out in the wilderness somewhere.
Looking ahead, what are you most excited about in terms of the future of AI at the Recording Academy?
I mean, I think there's so many things. I'm very excited about what I think we can do to help the awards team in terms of processing the voting and submissions and basically everything that's tied to how we get from the first song that gets submitted for the Grammys to being on stage and having, you know, it performed. That is probably one of the most exciting things, I think, that, and people won't see that. That will be behind the scenes. I think the thing that people will see is when we start using large language models to go through our existing video and audio archives and start making those available to the public. I think that's going to be amazing.
That is really, really exciting. David, I just want to thank you so much for this great conversation. I'm so excited for the Grammys this year and to see what else the Recording Academy cooks up with AI in the future. And thanks to everyone watching, and we will see you all soon on AI in Action.